Set my soul afire, Lord. Burn deep within. Help me, Father, to see the hurt and the pain of others and to feel their pain as I feel my own. That's called fellowship, whether you thought about it or not. It's called fellowship. Fellowship means I take on your hurt and your pain. Fellowship means I take on the joy, the hugs, and the happy times. Fellowship. Spiritually connected. And when we ask God to set our soul afire, I encourage each and every one to pay attention to what you're saying to God. And don't act as though God didn't hear you. Lord, I ask you to set my soul afire. Yeah, no, I did. You're the one who put it out. Look into our own lives and see how many times that Almighty God has come to touch us, to bring us up from the depths of where we are, the ditch of life or anything else. Wherever, whatever that situation is, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever. One thing they say about Christians, which is a true fact, as we all know it, we are a peculiar people. Now, did you all raise, I know some of you heard this growing up, oh, he's a little peculiar. Well, growing up, I had no idea what that meant. But in some of the people where they said he's peculiar, you know, a little peculiar, I thought, I sort of like it. He's different from what I'm having to listen to here. I sort of like it. Well, God says, you're special. And knowing that you and I are special, God says, I will set your soul afire with my word. Do you know that every answer to getting out of any situation, to walking through that, and remember this, you don't go around the problem in order to conquer. You must go through it. If you go around it, that circle is going to lead you right back to it. Deal with it. Walk through it. But you know, I'm going to get hurt if I walk through. That's our problem now, folks. Too many of us Southern Baptists are sissy enough to think, oh, but it hurts too much. And I encourage you to look back at the cross. You want to know what hurt and pain is? Look at the cross. Pick up God's word. Read the power within that fire of His Holy Spirit. Listen to God as He talks to you and says, this is the part of life that I have planned for you. I want you to focus on this part of your life, united with my church. And together then we will form the body of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have no right to lock Jesus Christ out of His church any more than we have a right to block the fire that Almighty God is wanting to set ablaze in every spirit. Folks, we have, and this is why so much of the world despises Christians. One of the biggest reasons you're listening now for the Christians that are continuing to be crucified, decapitated, tortured. You know what the problem is? These Christians, that those that are slaughtering them say, you know what your problem is, Christian? You think this Jesus is the only way. But now if you'll back away from Jesus and accept our religion, I don't like religion. Religion drives me crazy. I've dealt with the religion through the prisons and jails and drives me crazy. That's why I realize, Christian, we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I are bonded by the power of the blood of Jesus together. And together, he said, I want you to stand strong. I want you to get to the front lines of battle. I want you to get out to those front lines, and I want you to stand there. Okay, Lord, I remember Vietnam well. They did not tell, well, at the beginning, they did not tell you to go out there and wait till somebody shoots first. You take the enemy on direct. God says, go to the battle line. Go to the front. And here's where we differ. The Christian is ordered by God to go to the front lines and to watch God's victory for us. God said, I will take care of the battles. Don't you worry about them. I will fight your battle. You see, they're after Jesus. They want to stop the name of Jesus. And as a Christian, I happen to be a family member. Therefore, Satan will lead religious people to destroy individuals who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All you got to do to get by in this world, just use a God as a generic name. Oh, yes, that's the higher power. Oh, gosh. Stick your finger in a light socket, you'll see that higher power. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about true power of Almighty God within us. He said, you recognize me? I'll always be there with you. You use my name down there, Larry? I'm using your name up here. Oh, I like that. But the Lord said, I want you to pay attention. Brother Randy, every Sunday, says this. We need to praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So we ask in our prayer, God, set my soul afire with praise. Do you know in every situation where man allowed God to have control, there's always victory? There has never been a loss, never been a defeat. There's no nation ever recorded greater than the United States of America. The United States of America has become great because of God's favor. We talk about Jesus. But now we're looking to this generic worship. Well, let's just not offend anybody. If you're set out to not offend anyone, does that not offend God? If you're going to make the world happy, then does that not mean then that we're not putting a smile on our Father's face? Jesus said, recognize me. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am a human being, and I have more flaws than all of you put together, especially Randy. Well, think of it. You and I, realizing as Christians, we're a mess. And then the Lord sets your soul afire, and you can stand strong and firm right on the battle line, and you can hear Jesus proclaim, Larry might be a mess, but he's my mess. He's family. Folks, we are a part of the family of God. And God says your problem is you're trying to use your own human wisdom, which is not very wise. You're trying to use what's called common sense, which is not common. We're trying to use anything and everything except praising the name of Jesus. Well, now, can't you just get the message across without that? No, that is the message. That's the gospel, the good news. The gospel For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All the Bible you'll ever need in one verse. The gospel is the good news. Too often we think it's the bad news. Too often the enemies of God say that's their problem, because they continue to say there's one way. Let's get it straight. There's one way. There's one way. But it's a way to where whosoever will, let them come through this way. Christians mess up so often thinking that we have a better idea. Leave that to Ford Motor Company. We have a better idea. Well, the light bulb's not very bright. When your idea runs directly in contrast with God. When you get on the front line of a battle, you shake every muscle in you. If you didn't have a twitch, you'll have one there. Tears happen to come out, but you don't let your fellow Marines or anyone think, oh, no, yeah, I was thinking about my kids, but I don't have any. But, you know, anything except fear. Fear that will run over you. You know, standing for Jesus, it's not standing for Jesus with the absence of fear. It's standing with Jesus though you're standing there and you're shaking. Though you feel your whole body shaking. And you realize God is saying to the Christian, go forth. But Lord, I'm frozen. The enemy is taking shots at me. If I take one step forward, I could be hurt. Lord, I'm afraid. It's not about not being afraid. It's about holy boldness enough, though that you're afraid, though that you're shaking in your boots, though that the fear is about to consume you. You go anyway. You go anyway. Because you happen to be standing in the presence of Almighty God's Son, Jesus Christ, who happens to be God incarnate. You are filled with His Spirit. I don't have to defend God. I can't. God defends me and you. Don't we get it? We serve a risen Savior that conquered the grave, conquered death. It's not the idea, well, one day death will be conquered. Through Christ, death is already conquered. You remember the 10 lepers that you have the story of, which you will see here on the screen, the scripture. And you will remember in that day and age. Let me give you just a tad of history. The Samaritans that you will hear me talk about, they were a part of a Babylonian captivity. Well, when the Samaritans came back, they were mixed. Samaritans made up all sorts of people who wanted to worship God. And they go here to Samaria. Well, the Jewish leader says, no, they're not real Jews. Gosh, hear people today, well, they're not a real Christian. Either you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior or you don't. And no man can judge your relationship with Christ other than Christ himself. So they said, you can't be a part of rebuilding the temple. So they get out there and they build their own. It's torn down later, but listen. As 10 lepers are walking by, it doesn't matter when you are broken, when there's something about you that seems to be a flaw in the society that you're living in, what do? You gravitate to other people like you that are broken. And you build your own society. They call it the sub-society. Well, I'd rather be a part of a sub-society serving the Lord than popular society serving a foreign god. But the lepers, they were not allowed. They were to stay as far away from the unblemished that they could stay, or they'd be stoned to death. Listen to this story. Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. As he was going into a village, this is Jesus, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Sometimes Christians or the world want to stand at a distance to keep from hearing about who Jesus is. Other times, society makes them stand at a distance, and Jesus hears them anyway. You got it? They kept their distance. Now, and listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I do not care what Christian denomination you're with, but I do care about the Christ you serve. As Christians, we to unite together. And many say, well, this is the way the healing takes place. Jesus healed a lot of people. A lot of people he didn't. And he never directly healed anybody the same way. So here they are standing over here at a distance asking God to have mercy, because they saw Jesus and they recognized God. Do you have it? They recognize God in the image of Jesus Christ. And they ask for mercy. Now, why didn't the Lord just run right on over there and bring all 10 of them up in front of him, and he walked down the aisle and start popping them right upside the head? Be healed, be healed, be healed. It's not in the pop you get upside the head, folks. It's in the ever-loving power and authority of the Word of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. I was always afraid that somebody might want to come to heal me and pop me upside the head. And that old Marine, they said be healed, I'd say praise the Lord, and we'd both be on our knees praying. Think of that. Jesus didn't do that. Didn't need to, because you see, the power of their healing rests within their belief. Listen to me. Rests within their belief that Jesus is exactly who he claims to be. So, verse 14, when he saw them, Jesus, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, in order to be made clean, where you could get your Social Security from the priest and all that stuff, then they had to agree, yes, you no longer have leprosy. So go show yourself to the priest. Now listen to this. And as they went, they were cleansed. The Lord said, I've called you to do this. I want you to preach. I want you to teach. I want you to be a nurse. I want you to be a school teacher. I want you to be this, that, or the other. It's not the ideal that God is not following through. The problem is we as Christians are not listening to his command and start walking right towards it, going to the battle line and needing to understand the Lord is already there. We got to show up. Oh, I love the Lord. And one of these days, I'm going to get back to church. But you know, things have been hard the last 14 years. You haven't seen anything yet. Walking through life without Christ, I cannot imagine, don't want to. Living in a realm within you that is always dark. You get little bit pieces of a light, but you can't seem to reach it. You been there? And God is always saying to you, go. Show yourself to the world And as you go in a ministry I've called you, I'm the one that'll give you the voice. I'm the one that'll give you strength. I want you to go. I'll take care of all the rest. And when we start to go like these 10 lepers, they were healed. They were cleansed. Verse 15. One of them, actually Jesus turns and he looks at his followers, his disciples and all were there, and he's watching. See, he never took his eyes off of them. They were turned to go. And Jesus knew that first step, they'd be healed or cleansed. But only one of the 10 turned around. Now listen, one of them, verse 15, when he saw he was healed or cleansed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He's another one of those that, now you need to sort of tone it down just a little bit. Well, I'm sorry, I can't tone it down. I happen to know the answer to everlasting life. I happen to know the answer to, you know, Ponce de Leon, fountain of youth. Folks, Jesus is a fountain of life. Amen. Jesus says, I'm the one you need to drink from. And I want you to pay attention, church, because you're my family. And as family, I want you standing out there representing me. Proud of you, son. Proud of you, daughter. Lord, they're getting ready to chop my head off. Proud of you. Let me tell you something. The only one in that torture that didn't have to be there to see it was the Christian being tortured with his head cut off. God says, you will never see death. And the Lord said it himself. You know, I took them out of the world because the world did not deserve them. So being taken out is a blessing. And God said, all I want you to do, I want you to go to front lines. Have you ever had a problem in your mind and you just know this is going to happen, this is going to happen? I mean, you're having to take whatever you take for your stomach and all of this because of the worry for that, and then it never happens. How about let's talking to the Lord first? Praise God for what you know He's going to do. Now, preacher, you're not there yet. I have faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because it is His faith He has given me. I cannot walk through my strength. I must walk through His strength. The holy boldness means this body, this carcass, with all the flaws going through, that this body had been dedicated to God Almighty through the blood of His Son. Therefore, set aside for God's service, and He lets us know, you know, right now you think this is horrible, but you haven't seen me yet. In the presence of Christ, in the presence of my enemies. Listen, in the presence of Christ, in the presence of my enemies. They cannot see the army of heaven. And yet through His power, He watches. And the one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. So like you, Randy. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. Now, look at the rest of that. And he was a Samaritan. This is the one that wasn't allowed to even be a part of rebuilding the temple. This is the one that was a Samaritan. You know, they're not really, really. And we hear it today, well, they're not really, really Christians because it's a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or a full gospel church. A Christian is a Christian is a Christian when that individual accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You got it? God reaches to us with His love. Because there's a battle line, folks. And that front line is getting closer. Have you noticed? We're getting to the point where so many are charging God foolishly. And God's watching. Jesus Christ said this: when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on earth? Jesus says that. When I come again, will I find faith? But Lord, we've got a church on every corner. The church building does not equal faith in Christ. It's a personal relationship. And the Lord said, I want you to get on fire for me. I want you to stand out there. And if nothing else, Larry, pretend like you're not shaking. How do you do that? God will freeze you to where you can't see me shake. One thing I can tell you, from the day God called me to preach, I've shook in this pulpit and in any pulpit I stood in. The day I stop shaking will be the day I need to sit down and shut up, because the Holy Spirit power is a new birth every second, every part of my whole being. And I'm a human being. You're a human being. Therefore, what happens? We get afraid. My family's going to think that I'm a religious nut. Oh, what about in the big game today and all the hooping and hollering and all of this? Well, that's sanity with hot wings. Think of that. But now you Christians just need to calm it down a little bit. That's a problem now. We Christians have calmed down so much that there's not even an ember glowing in the fireplace of God's people. And God said, it is time. Oh, I want my children taken care of. Then give them to the Lord in prayer. And keep your promise to raise your children in honor in Christ. I just want to let my kids make their own choice. When they said you, they wanted to stick their hand in the fire, so you'd say, well, it's their choice. No, you're going to beat that kid half to death, pull them away from it, right? They're going to the edge of the mountain. Oh, I heard this from my mother enough. You all have to. Just because one goes, jumps off, does that mean you have to? Well, yes. I was young and dumb. To me, that's exactly what it meant. Yeah, what's wrong with that? And then your parents are looking at you and saying, now, is that my kid? Think of this. God says, I want you to trust me. And yet we don't. And we put our trust in our own wisdom. It's the wisdom of God you put your trust in. When you start thinking you're too smart, when you start thinking you're too pretty, when you start thinking, well, you know, I know I'm a Christian, but I cannot get down on my knees and cry out to the living God. I no longer can bend the knee to God because it's not prim, it's not proper. Because you know you're going to scare somebody. Hell for people frightens me. I'm more afraid for those who don't know Jesus. Because I read the book. I know the outcome. Those who've accepted Christ. Come on, my true and faithful servant. And then from the human standpoint, you and I are looking in our life saying, well, you know, the Lord must not know it all. Because He just said I was true and faithful. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I'm heaven bound. You can't take that away from me. But I have now the calling to get His word to the lost and dying world. because they don't believe it. And you can't talk them into it. And if you attempt to, somebody's going to talk them out of it later. You pray. You lift them up in prayer. That War Room movie I showed you, you get you a spot. Go get in a closet. But you kids already think you're half crazy because you're adults. Get in a closet. Put their names up there. Listen for the voice of God. You want protection on your family? My son's a police officer. I worry every time he puts the uniform on. Every time he walks out the door. Have you and I put on the uniform of Christ to the point when we walk out that door? I know this, and you all do too, but just don't want to think about it. When any of us separate from each other for the daily work or whatever it is, we do not know whether we'll even see each other at the evening or after work. See you after work, hon. See you later. It may be later than you think. You don't know. So why not me and you stand at the battle line for Jesus, realizing that any second the Lord can call me home, or the Lord will bless me by pulling me out of this body because he loves me. Whatever the reason. You see, I get excited. Woo! You talk about praising the Lord. Listen to me, people. So many people say, well, that's the end. That's the end of it. Folks, it's barely the beginning. The Savior who saved me said, Larry, you'll never die. There's not a time in your existence I will not be with you and remain with you because you said yes to me. You believe in me. And because you trust me, I won't let you down. Come on home. Woo! Home. Preacher dog, not shout like it. Come on home. Get excited. But be careful. For I worry sometimes about my own statements. I do. You have to watch this. Because honestly, I can tell you, deep within me, I look forward, so forward, to the next step of eternity. And I know that I will see every Christian there with me. I know that. And sometimes I get too excited about leaving. That I say, Lord, you know, that the next bite of cancer that I get, you know, sort of back off a little. I'm ready to come on home. Listen, I know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to know this. If I ever try to pull that kind of prayer, he would say, fine, Larry. And he would not let me have any more cancer. And then my punishment would be staying in this body on earth. I've listened to my mother. It'll be 102 in August. And she will say just about on a daily basis, everybody I know is dead. Everybody I love is gone. I try to straighten her out on that one. But I know exactly what she means. Here I am. Why am I still here? I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him be known. They are weak, but he is strong. Sing it to your children. And stand out there with your heart, your spirit on blaze for the Lord. Excited, because you know what's going to happen and you trust him enough before you see it happen, you take the step. But let me tell you what faith is not. Faith is not you waiting to see God's plan for you and then you'll take the step. That's not faith. That's doubt. That's doubt. filled with fear. God said, you take the step, let me open to you the truth about how much I love you. You and I should never and can never, I want you to think about this, there will never be a point in your life where God loves you more. When you said yes to Jesus, you got all the love of Almighty God you'll ever get. All of you. All the love. And he's still waiting for us to sort of, as we give him back our trust and love pieces at a time. He didn't save me piecemeal. He saved me because I said, yes, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe in the cross. What are you going to do about it? Sure, I believe in it. What are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your power. We pray now, Heavenly Father, as you give us the strength, give us the courage, that holy boldness to truly stand strong for you. Help us, Father, for we are weak. Direct us throughout this life, for we don't know what's around the bend. Strengthen us within the faith that you give us, that we might encourage others. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.